There's a natural progression from the social engineering that the city has done here. They destroyed their working class. What the fuck did they think was gonna happen? They'd just go away?
Closed doors in my life.
Seriously.
There's more closed door than there is.
These people have degrees in, like, human resources and community development and stuff like that. They know what kind of community they're developing. They're the people that eat $24 hamburgers at Oswald's once a week.
Is the rumor true that you are planning to be the...
You're absolutely right. That sounds fucking hostile. Every time the city talks about community, I go, which community are you talking about? I never in my life of working here knew anybody that went out for $24 hamburgers on a regular basis. But the community came out for Oswald's, according to the Sentinel. That was a headline.
But what about this rumor that you're the campaign manager for Ryan Coonerty's bid for city manager?
I cannot confirm nor deny anything to that effect. It's,
or will you be running independently yourself?
No, that I won't be doing.
I can't run at all.
They'd kill me.
I only got one leg.
They'd kill me.
I'd last 3 days.
They'd kill me right away.
So what would you do as city manager if you were, in fact, appointed to that job? Unlikely, as it may be.
Well, the first thing I'd do as city manager is I'd try to promote some sort of city ordinance that would prohibit anybody with any interest in the real estate industry whatsoever, from Airbnb landlords up to DevCo investors, from having any decision-making position in the city of Santa Cruz. That would eliminate, you realize, the whole city council. It would eliminate the planning department. The only question really becomes, can you find people that are qualified to run a planning department without finding people that have connections to the real estate development industry? There's workarounds. You do it by committee. You select someone to give you advice, and you all by committee decide whether that person's telling you something legit or not, right? Have experts double-checking them from other perspectives.
What would you do with the police department?
They need to protect property, not people. People, not property. That's the bottom line. The way the police are set up, they're set up to protect property first. And they need to protect people independently. This society, because of, you know, look at the living environment that most people never intended to live in. You get people who act out badly, people that turn into marauders, stuff like that. They maraud on people that just want to live peacefully and things like that. And there needs to be some sort of control of that until we come up with other resolutions, such as how does a group, a community, handle someone waving a knife around, right, because they got in a fight or something, right? Until you're going to need some sort of control, but the primary duty is to protect people. And not...
How would you change the policies of the police department so that this would be effectuated?
You have to start from scratch. They are what they are because of, by intent and design. You have to complete... They need to be more social workers, you know?
I'm a social worker. I'm a social bitch.
And the more you do that, the more you find other people willing to work with you and cooperate to control the situation. Part of why they consider it so crime-ridden down here is basically because they got rid of their working class. Those are people who traditionally don't have a lot of money to go out and hang out at a bar or something, so they spend time, and there's still a few of them down there, just hanging out and sitting after work and people-watching and stuff. Those people have a calming influence on what happens on the street just because of their presence. When I was working at Putney and Perry, and I could afford to live at the Royal Hotel on a little over minimum wage, footsteps away from where I work.
When was that?
Where's what?
When was that?
Oh, this be mid-80s, right? I didn't have much money. I managed to buy myself a guitar, didn't own a car, even though I worked at a garage. And I'd sit in my little dormer window and play guitar to myself in the alley, over the alley, looking down by Poet and Patriot. And if there was someone fucking up, I'd go, hey, what the fuck are you doing down there? Just like when I was living on the Lower East Side. You need people that care about a community, who are actually integrated with the community. I was hired by people in the community who understood that I had some function. I could feel I could sell auto parts. I wasn't like middle class or anything like that. They hired me off the street. All those opportunities went away with those old school businesses, and it's all shopping mall businesses where you need to be a college student or grad student to have the kind of face and personality needed to even be a Starbucks server. So they disenfranchised everybody. They got rid of all their light industrial work, said it was dirty industry. Fuck, Lipton wasn't dirty industry. You should live near a steel mill, right? And they let it all slip away and didn't do anything to replace it. And with it, anybody who was poor that cared about the town went away for the most part. Most of them didn't care to be living in the woods for the rest of their lives, which is what was going to happen, so they went somewhere else. I've known dozens of people that people went to Hawaii and managed to eke out a better living than they were doing here. And I don't know. I think it's basically being looted, that it's turned into a clip joint. They don't get people to try to come here and go Santa Cruz anymore, wear sandals to the office. They pander to them. Oh, poke shops? We don't know what poke is, but we'll put five of them in downtown just because you like them. Bars that cater to the LA jet setter crowd. The Catalyst, bought out by the owner of The Usual, and who runs it like The Usual, a shithole San Jose club, right? All the uniqueness here is gone. The music industry vanished. They're all saying, and I saw this in the article about Don McCaslin, when they had a memorial issue for him in the good times a bunch of years ago, or just last year, actually. And they said, where did all the street performers go? Dude, can't afford to live here. Not everybody wants to live in their car for the rest of their fucking lives. So they vanished, right? Except for some people that are just hanging in, people living in their cars and things. But no, the local kids used to play music on the street here. And one of those local kids got me hired at a job, told me a job was available, and there was a whole network that worked with local kids that lived here and local people that understood that some of the people that were traveling through and camping in the woods actually made just fine workers.
Right. They're called whoopers in New Zealand. They're called whoopers when someone comes on your property and will work for room and board, and they do it for a couple of months maybe, or even a year. They're called whoopers.
There were people on the other side of the river back before it got all gentrified, that if you were working some schmucky job and couldn't make like rent or something like that, they'd rent you the garage for the winter to get you out of the rain. They understood your situation, so to speak. All that's gone. These people don't understand that they've got two Beamers parked in that garage now instead, right? Instead of a surfboard, a bicycle, and a junker car, right? You shared space with the junker car, which they hardly ever use.
Sleep in that junker car, especially the wasps and the cats. Are you getting a good interview, Mr. North?
They've done.
Yeah, because we're two experts, aren't we? Thank you.
But my point here, and to round it up, is they've done all this by design. They turned it into a socioeconomic shithole by design, because there's a small subset of people here making money on it, and that's the real estate industry. After the earthquake, they got this town by the balls. There was always some sort of fine balance. Businesses didn't want a worker that had to travel 50 miles in a junker car every morning to get to a minimum wage job. That doesn't make for a reliable employee, you know. So there was some sort of balance going on. All done. It's a downtown corporation now.
What you see is the difference now that the downtown corporation has, from your perspective, supplanted the downtown association.
I think we're going to see the worst to come in the form of gentrification. I got a copy of that book, Street People in the Contested Realm of Public Spaces, by the way. It's oversighted, perhaps, but he makes some good points about how they turned...
Who's the author?
Randall Amster. They turned Tempe, Arizona into a gentrified shithole, Santana Row-like, and it doesn't work for them there either. And the same people did the urban planning here.
And the name of the book again?
Street People in the Contested Realm of Public Spaces.
Relatively recently written?
Oh, yeah. Late 90s, I think. Don't make me dig it out of my backpack.
I'll look it up, perhaps.
But seriously, I was in Denver. Denver's building a huge amount of housing and touting itself out by Centennial, about 16 miles out of town, as Denver's tech center. It's all moving away from here. I know why it was here, because at one point in my job history, I surveyed software engineers, and on my wall, I had a map of the Bay Area. Satellite map. I think it was National Geographic, as a matter of fact. And it had points and little blurbs about all the original computer companies, Ampex, all those guys. And you could see what was happening. It all revolved around the Blue Cube at Moffett Field. Landsat was up and these other satellites, and they were crunching the satellite data, and they were using basic IBM 350s and stuff like that to crunch us numbers, and the companies needed to be nearby each other because there was no graphic internet. A picture took a half hour to download, and you watched it draw on the screen a line at a time while you drank a cup of coffee. No graphics, no worth talking about, no three dimensions whatsoever. So the companies needed to be near each other so couriers could run back and forth with some machine part or something like that. That's not necessary anymore. You can do something in Adobe and send the file to another guy, and he can do it in 3D in a whole other continent and do precision measurements on it or whatever needs. Teleconferencing, lips don't lag, right? Looks just like you were there. And in the long run, they no longer need to stay in the Bay Area, and they're all leaving. Oracle just went to Florida. There's companies that have been going to Austin for years. A guy I did live sound with back in the 80s. His brother was a senior engineer at Intel. They bought his house out on El Dorado and Live Oak and just relocated him lock, stock, and barrel. Took him house hunting in Phoenix, where they had moved to. Phoenix has turned into a shithole, too. Everywhere the computer industry goes.
When did you first come to Santa Cruz, Ray?
1976.
Yeah.
Just to give you a snippet of how far back that is in computer time, there was a store basically at the St. George end of where the Pacific Wave was, is called Odyssey Records. It was cavernous, went in, kind of narrow. They had a Commodore 64 and a kiosk that ran some sort of primitive video game on it, right? And you just commanded it left and right with cursor buttons, just like a VI keypad, like Unix or something like that, like a Pong, right? Anyway, one day it had crashed down to a DOS prompt, and I typed print hello, and it spit back hello on the screen, basic. Everybody there thought I was a computer genius.
What do you miss most about what you saw in 1976?
A booming music and art scene, and you could almost afford a place to live around here with even a dishwasher job. Two people could do it.
You miss the Bubble Cafe?
Yeah, I miss the Bubble Cafe.
Egg and Apple Press?
Broken Egg. Broken Egg was a good hangout. There were a whole bunch of good hangers. The original Perg and the second Perg is still sitting vacant. He's making money on that place even when it's sitting vacant. Someone gave me a link, and I lost it. Some Wall Street Journal article about how the commercial real estate industry, they can make money on a property by leaving it vacant. It increases its value. There's some sort of hustle they do with cities where they get loan grants or something.
I've heard
like
that claim for Santa Cruz, yeah.
Oh, this whole place is a hustle. What Swanton, entrepreneur, what the hell does entrepreneur mean? It means you're a scam artist. The whole town's built on scamming. And scammers hate other scammers, so, you know, it's like...
Any comments about the impact of the beach boardwalk?
On the whole thing? What you mean, how do I think an entertainment center down there affected the outcome down here?
Yes, and also if If it's yeah.
junk bites where they actually attempted to turn the whole town into an extension of the boardwalk with amusement rides for their little 16-year-olds blasting around on them. They want to do that again, I hear. But basically, Robert Moses, the guy that did the modern urban planning for New York, said something about amusement parks, and he was talking about my nearby neighborhood, Coney Island, when he brought it up. He said, the aristocrat in him will show. He said, I don't care for amusement parks. They attract the lower classes. The kind of people you're trying to attract to an amusement park by the beach and the kind of people you're trying to attract to a trendy little shopping mall, even if it's hipster style, it's two really different crowds. And the idea of them ever blending by making a corridor like they intend to do or anything like that is... they don't know what the fuck they're doing. If there's a worst job of social engineering that's ever happened in a city, I've never seen it.
It's a methadone-friendly town. So a lot of things are going to slide. It's a methadone-friendly town.
The people that are into those sort of programs all get government funding, and they can milk the government money. That's what I'm seeing. It's like
all the priority of rooms and rent and places
and
rehabs.
You got to do something for that too, but you can't do it just for that.
Right.
There's got to be a balance here going on, and they totally threw it aside. They don't
got to do your chores. Yeah.
I'm
having fun here.
There's nothing for people that actually want to work here. And that needs to change to match whatever targeted grant money they take for social services. But there's no grant money for that, so they got to spend their own money to do it. And they always plead poor mouth when it comes down to that. No one's really done an independent audit of these little scumbags in the last 45 years I've lived here. God only knows how much they're hide, right? But when you want to provide real social services that do real community building, they hired a telecommuting czar a bunch of years ago. They were paying them like $1 million a year or something like that. The Sentinel was all over. Whatever happened to that cyber czar that they hired? Why don't they hire a czar for like working class work instead and get some real jobs back here for people? They're paying people gift cards to clean up the streets. I remember when New York had street sweepers that actually worked for the city and they were in the union and they pulled the thing around all day and then that's what they did for a living. Sherby's paying a bunch of cops.
It reminds me of the Red Skeleton show. Or was it that Carol Burnett show where that little sweeper is there and he's sweeping up the light circle and the light circle's getting smaller and smaller, or was that a cartoon?
That's an interesting concept. But no, seriously, give people a stake in a town and they're less liable to trash it.
UFO.
And we wish you were here to check the UFO, folks, but I'm too tired to even look up. I've been talking with...
I'm not sure,
and?
Snicklefritz, Snackledork, Snucklefritz.
I'm not even going to try to repeat that.
It won't get in the form.
This is a dream catcher. Hey, thank you, everybody. Hey, I got a stimulus check. I got my teeth.
You've been stimulated.
My hair's growing. I'm getting along with everybody, and I'm relocated, and I'm not outdoors. I've been outdoors for at least 40 years. So... the city of Santa Cruz, I got to say, if you had any part of this, you have my sincere gratefulness.
But no, they seriously have to make a concerted effort here. All these programs that, like they did it in San Francisco, where you know, they put you up in a hotel and they do all that, and they get all your hopes up, and when the money's out, they just dump you back in the street.
Right,
that's
right.
Not helpful. That makes it worse.
That was against the law, too, because we had plenty of people.
And we've been talking with the optimistic...
pessimist.
I'm not sure.
And the pessimistic optimist. What's your name again, sir?
Dreamcatcher.
Thank you. Thank you both. You should be on the net tonight for all of our five listeners.
The whole rant.
Yeah.
Good.
Kind of a flashback. We're talking with
Theodore Porter,
Theodore, you were reminding me that some years ago you were in defense of someone who was assaulted on Pacific Avenue.
Not Pacific, sir. It was the city building. We were out in front, and there was an actual thing happening, and an African-American gentleman chose to hit this elder person with a cane that only had one tooth, and I got between the altercation and made him take, focus on me so he would not hit that other gentleman, but I was unable to harm him because I just hit a car. I was just trying to keep between them, and I got him safe long enough for the cops to get him, basically. So, yeah.
And again, where was this?
Right in front of the city building. Right in front of it. Right across the street from that theater and the library. Yeah.
Nickelodeon?
Is this the podcast?
The library.
The library. Okay, I know that. That's where many of us had protests against the sleeping ban in the old days.
We were doing a protest with the sleeping thing that very day. As a matter of fact, it was about 4 years ago.
Huh. Yeah. Freedom sleepers, perhaps.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's your take on all those protests? Do you feel they helped at all? What do you think?
I'm not sure the city's understanding as well as they should, but everybody should understand that everyone has to have sleep. If you don't want to have people messed up on drugs because they're not allowed to sleep, you need to let them sleep. That's it. Because they will lead them to things that they shouldn't be doing.
How are you doing now in the last year here?
Well, sir, I've come to a point where I don't care about their tickets. I will sleep regular, and I've progressed to I have sanity back.
So sounds good. How many tickets have you gotten?
7.
And what are they for?
Camping.
In the last year.
But never for having it trash or anything like that. It's always just being asleep somewhere.
When was the last ticket you got?
About a month ago.
And was it a Santa Cruz police officer?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. At night, during the day?
First thing in the morning.
And where were you, if you want to say?
I was downtown in an empty little corner hidden in an alleyway. And they gave me a ticket for being asleep at 7:30 a.m.
Did they offer you an alternate place to go?
No, they did not. They told me to go to the park. That's not an alternate. That is a trap and an imprisonment. You do not concentrate misery that way and expect it not to reflect on the people because they have no breath, because it's too concentrated a misery.
What do you make of the bench lab?
It used to be beautiful, but then they brought all the pain and put it in one area. And so the pain has no relief. It's just concentrated. It's not right to do to people. It's actually very cruel. And then to talk about them and talk negative about them and continue to push that line when they are there going through more and causing more because of your choice to concentrate them versus spread them out. Yeah.
Do you visit at all? Or are you?
I visit the park. I do visit the park. There's a family there with children, and I go and visit them regular. I stop in, make sure everything's okay. I run errands for them or whatever. And there's other people in the park that I kind of check in on, some elderly and things, some friends disabled. And all I see there is a lot of pain, a lot of misunderstanding, and people trying to deal with it the best they can. A lot of their fighting is all due to just unmet physical needs and being worn too thin, not being able to really just relax. And it causes them to blow up, especially on really hot days. There's going to be a lot of arguments down there. Anything like that, it's just not enough comfort for a human to relax. And so there comes a lot of explosive negative behaviors. And I know the city is aware of this. I know that they know math. A plus B equals C. I know they're starting something on purpose. Because when you concentrate that many people going through hell and on the street struggling to live, you increase that friction in their life 1,000 times. So they purposely are stepping on their heads right now.
And we've been talking with
Teddy.
Anything more you want to say, Teddy?
I love everyone in Santa Cruz. I don't care if you're housed up or not. I love you. I want you to be safe, and I want your children to be safe, and I want this to be a beautiful place again.
Thank you. There we go. Well, that would be nice.
Keep vital alive.
We're talking with
Lisa. Hi. What are you guys talking about today?
Are we locals here, or are we? Does it matter?
It's mostly locals who listen to it, I think, but though other people can hear it.
Are you asking locals? And then you go back
over. I'm asking anybody, actually. Mostly people who are poor or outside, that sort of thing.
Well, I've been outside now off and on for the last 4.5 years, and my heart problems have gotten worse. I was told by HPHP that I could not get housed at the RCC program or at the loft because they had an overflow of people from shutting down the armory and the COVID motels here. But I'm only running on 20%, and my oxygen levels are so low that I have to have oxygen at night or else I'll die. And they don't seem to think that that's a priority.
What's your approach? You sleep here?
I sleep here in this parking lot because I don't get harassed by the police as much as I do anywhere else. But yeah, I'm in my car. I don't have a tent. But yeah. So yeah, that's just where I'm at now and trying to fight it. So I'm just going through the different motions.
Before you moved here, where were you?
I was working. I'm from here, but I was working and I got assaulted and I had PTSD so bad I couldn't work anymore.
When was that?
About 4.5 years ago.
When you moved outside, where did you go to?
I went first to the wetlands and then...
Where are the wetlands?
There, San Lorenzo Park.
Like the benchlands?
Yeah.
Were they wet at that time? Or?
No. You have a sticker on your chest. And when they started getting really flooded, that's when I ended up getting a truck and trying to help everybody get their stuff with the truck and so forth. But yeah.
And so I think they evacuated the benchlands in the spring.
Yeah.
Where did you do then?
Then it was just all about going around, and then I went to go visit friends out of town, you know, and hang out with them for a while. But I always end up coming back home. And
Home is Santa Cruz,
and yeah, and you know, I stick to the same theory that happiness when you're homeless is a delusion. But you know, at least I know that I don't have to bother anybody or ask anybody for anything if I'm containing myself somehow.
Yeah. Anything you want to add, Lisa?
Help the medical people.
You're here. So here's an artist. What are you doing there, artist? If you want to say.
Me?
You. You're the artist.
For what?
Well, you seem to be creating a portrait of somebody.
No, I'm not. It's already there.
Oh, whoops. A copyist. And not a, you're going to get it. Huh.
I got something to say, though.
What do you got to say?
Those who forgot. Just because you need a box to live in this beautiful home which God has given to all of us doesn't mean that I do. Welcome to free America.
I want to say something now. What's up, motherfuckers?
The man who has a certain critical view of boxes we've been talking with.
Miguel De Leon.
Who does this look like?
Anything you want to say? Oh, no problem. No problem. All right. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lito. Thank you. Thank you, copyist artist woman.
I have yet to talk to him and go by.
Back.
Another time.